Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. In this episode, we will be discussing the attributes of Allah the Almighty and the wisdom behind naming our children using these attributes.
La ilaha illallahu Muhammadur Rasulullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته May the peace and blessings of Allah be unto all of us. I'll be reading from the Holy Quran and choosing the verse from chapter number 59 of the Holy Quran. He is Allah, there is no God beside Him, the knower of the unseen and the seen. He is the gracious, the merciful. He is Allah, there is no God beside Him, the sovereign, the holy one, the source of peace, the bestower of security, the protector, the mighty, the subduer, the exalted. Holy is Allah, far above that which they associate with Him. So as stated earlier, today we are going to discuss the attributes of Allah. The Holy Quran lists quite a number of these attributes, and a rough count gives 99 of them. But that is not to say that these are only the attributes of Allah. These 99 attributes, in line with our faculty, our understanding, our knowledge. Now, if we look at them, these attributes, each one of them give a special quality or a special assignment that Allah the Almighty undertakes, or a special duty Allah the Almighty takes with regards to His creation. And some also basically with regards to the universe. According to the Holy Quran, chapter number 51, verse 57, the purpose of man here on earth is to worship Allah the Almighty. And in order for us to properly worship Him, we need to understand and know some of these qualities or the attributes of Allah the Almighty. It is only when we know these attributes that we will be able to utilize them to our spiritual benefit. Again, the Holy Quran says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا, chapter number 7, verse 181. It translates to say that to Allah alone are the excellent and the most beautiful names. So call Him by these names. In Islam, Allah the Almighty is called Allah. And the word Allah only is reserved for Allah the Almighty, God the Almighty, and none other than Him. But then beside the name Allah, there are several attributes. For instance, from the verse I recited, or the verse I recited, we came across, He is Allah, the all-knowing, or the knower of the unseen. So that is an attribute of Allah the Almighty, being the knower of the unseen. We also read about Allah the Almighty being the source of peace. That also is an attribute of Allah. So there are quite a number of them, as the Holy Quran places or gives us a list of 99. In the other ahadith, that is the holy sayings of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are several other attributes also mentioned. But then generally, they are referred to as the 99 attributes of Allah. Right from the beginning, in the Holy Quran, some of these attributes are mentioned, one of them being Lord of all the worlds. That is to mean that Allah the Almighty creates everything and then fosters everything that He has created and leads it gradually towards perfection. That is Allah being Lord of all the worlds. And usually, whenever we recite these verses, it brings to mind the kind of comfort that the verse gives us. Unlike some previous scriptures, which described God only as God of Israel, the Holy Quran, just from the beginning, listed and stated that Allah the Almighty is Lord of all the worlds. Not God for the Arabs, not God for the Jews, not God for the Chinese, not God for, you know, Africans and Asians, God of all the worlds. Another attribute that we find, particularly beginning the Holy Quran, is the gracious. At the early stage, we find another attribute which is very important, the gracious, which also means that Allah the Almighty provides everything necessary for the well-being of His creation without any effort from our side. So, for instance, when we were brought into this world as babies, the air that we will breathe was already provided for us without us having to make any preparation towards them. The breast milk that as children, babies, we need for the nourishment was already prepared. Everything that we needed, Allah the Almighty took care of it without us having to toil for it. This is under the attribute of Allah, which is called Ar-Rahman, that is translated as the gracious. There is another attribute of Allah the Almighty, which is called Ar-Rahim, the merciful, which also means that Allah the Almighty is the giver of the best and highest reward for those of His servants or His creatures who voluntarily do good deeds. So we learn that if you do good deeds, Allah the Almighty rewards you. This goes beyond the normal things that we need, which Allah the Almighty has provided. Under this attribute, you earn it. So you work for something, and then Allah the Almighty gives you the reward, based on the work that a person might have done. Again, in the same chapter, that is the first chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty describes Himself as Malik Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. This also means that the ultimate judgment concerning everything rests with Allah alone. Out of these 99 attributes, they can better be categorized into three. So, part of them, attributes peculiar to Allah alone. For instance, the Holy Quran mentions Allah as Al-Hayy, that is the living and the source of life. Then again, Al-Qadir, the one who is most powerful and decrees matters. There are again another attributes which concerns the creation of the universe. And then again, the attribute concerning the actions of His servants. I will not go too deep into these three categories. But then, what is important here and why we are talking about these attributes is that whenever we, as a people who are worshiping Allah the Almighty, would need something from Allah when we are praying, just as I said in the beginning that the purpose of our creation is to worship Allah the Almighty. And in order to perfect that worship, we need to make use of these attributes of Allah. For instance, if a person is asking for forgiveness or praying for forgiveness, the attribute of Allah, which takes care of forgiveness, is called Al-Ghaffar. So you would, ask Allah, or you would pronounce the Allah's attribute, this attribute of Allah, which dedicated to forgiveness. So you call Allah by that act or by that title which, I mean, forgives or which shows forgiveness. For instance, if a person is asking Allah for protection, the attribute which is Al-Hafiz, that is the protector, that is what under that, you know, umbrella of attribute, you would have to pray for protection. When a person is praying for wealth, then Allah's attribute of Al-Ghanim, that is the wealthier or the rich, that is what we have to make use of. So if we make use of these attributes to the best that we know of, and also in accordance with what exactly they are dedicated for, it makes the acceptance of our prayers very much easy. It is almost like, imagine you go to meet a lawyer and presenting your case to the lawyer. The lawyer has a name or a title, usually referred to as attorney. But then in case you make mistake and you address him in all your writing to him or in all your address to him, you address him as a doctor or a healer. The lawyer might be to some degree offended because it's either you don't know what you are talking about or you are sending the letter to the wrong person. Equally, if you go before a doctor and you present the doctor who you want to heal you as an attorney that you want to speak for you, it is also going to create a similar, you know, situation. So Allah the Almighty has taught us in the Holy Quran that we should use these attributes pertaining whatever we need to, you know, obtain from Him. As I have said, if you need forgiveness, you ask Allah under the attribute of Al-Ghaffar, that is the one who forgives, the most forgiving. If you need protection from Allah, you are praying for protection, you ask Allah under the attribute of the protector. If you need anything, these attributes are well listed. Unfortunately, I will not be able to go through all the 99, but then few of them which are peculiar to our day-to-day, you know, worship and our needs, inshallah, we would, you know, go through them. One other important, you know, claim the Holy Quran makes is that Allah the Almighty has created us on His nature. In the Bible, we read something which is somehow closer to this, where it says Allah has created man in His own image. The Holy Quran talks about the nature and it calls it fitra. That is the nature that Allah the Almighty has created man on. This also goes to say that we as human beings, as people, also would have to emulate, we should try the best we can to emulate these attributes of Allah. The first part being that when we are seeking Allah's help, each attribute or each kind of help that we are asking, there is a particular attribute that is in line with that. We should make use of that attribute or those attributes. But then the next level is that we should also be embodiment of those attributes. Of course, we cannot have them as higher, as Allah the Almighty, because we are Allah's creation. So no matter what, we should try as much as possible to also, you know, try to be examples of the attributes of Allah the Almighty, because as it's said in the Holy Quran, chapter number 30, verse 31, He says He has created man on His nature. So if Allah is merciful, then it is incumbent on us also to show mercy. If Allah is forgiving, then we also should be ready to forgive. If Allah is provider, the provider, then we should also provide for people. If Allah is the source of peace, we should also be peaceful. If Allah is forbearing, then we should also be forbearing. Imagine a person who does not show mercy, asking Allah for mercy. Imagine a person who does not forgive the faults or the mistakes of his fellow human being, asking Allah for forgiveness. Imagine a person who is not peaceful towards God's creation and his fellow human beings, asking Allah for peace. So we as Muslims understand that we have to emulate these attributes of Allah as part of our worship. And to remind us of these important attributes of Allah the Almighty, Muslims name our children. We name our children by some of these attributes of Allah. It is a very important topic, and here I would delve a little bit into the importance of names, choosing names for our children or even for ourselves. It is popular, you know, practice for people to pick names because they find the name to be, you know, either nice to pronounce, or they might call it beautiful, and then they assign this name to their children without knowing the meaning of these names. So as Allah the Almighty says, to him belongs the perfect and the most beautiful attributes. We should call him by those attributes. It is also important that we call each other by the attributes of Allah under the period where we would have to identify ourselves as servants of those attributes. Of course, Allah the Almighty's attributes have the definite article, the, T-H-E. In Arabic, it is Alif Lam. So for instance, Allah is Al-Hakim, and Al-Hakim is translated as the most wise. That is to the superlative, you know, level without anything being on top. But then when we are naming our children, we cannot name our child as Al-Hakim. That will be giving a less ultimate, you know, power of being wise to a human being. So when a Muslim is naming his child after or under the attribute of Allah, usually you would find the suffix, which is Abdul, servant. So for instance, I believe most of us are aware of a name like Abdul Hakim, Abdul Majid, Abdul Rauf. These attributes of Allah, which are given to human beings, named after Muslim children, but then we begin it with servant of Allah, who is the Hakim, the wise. Servant of Allah, who is most forgiving. Servant of Allah, who is most merciful. And this is for the male. For the female side, we have Amatu. So for instance, we have names like Amatul Hakim. That is a female servant of Allah who is most wise. Amatul Rauf. That is a female servant of Allah who is Rauf. Amatul, you know, Rahman. That is a female servant of Allah who is Rahman. So these are what Muslims do when we want to reflect on the attributes of Allah and also make use of them in our daily lives. Again, the children who are given these names, the kind of, or it is expected of them to try as much as possible to copy some of these attributes to the best of their abilities. So for instance, a person who is named after Hakim, Allah's attribute of Hakim being the wise, if a person who knows the meaning of Al-Hakim and sees a person who is named after this attribute misbehaving, doing something contrary to wisdom, their attention might be drawn to it that your name is this, so you have to behave as such. For instance, we know of a name called Abdullah, that is a servant of Allah. Definitely, if a person had that name, then indirectly or directly, we are obliged to work towards the name, that is being the servant of Allah in the true sense. And it goes same way for the females also. Now, I made mention of the practice where people take names, either from the internet or they hear somebody calling a child's name and they find it so fascinating, so they also adopt it for their own children without knowing the meanings. In fact, names are very important, and I believe I don't need to emphasize this. We all know the importance of names. What naming can do in our lives. Islam believes that a name as it stands does not have any supernatural powers to change a person's destiny. What I mean is that the name as it stands, for instance, if a person is called Abdullah or Abdul Hakim, that name itself does not give any supernatural powers or spiritual, you know, kind of preference to that person. But then it is the meaning of the name that has some kind of psychological effect and influence on the person who bears it. So I believe that is clear. The name on itself or by itself does not have any supernatural powers or spiritual, you know, enforcement onto the person who bears the name. However, the meaning of the name has that kind of psychological effect. When the person knows the meaning, they are tempted to work towards that meaning. We know of, in Arabic, a name called Asad. Asad simply means a lion. And people with this name, by knowing the meaning of the name, cowardice is not part of their life. They try to be as brave as they can. Of course, you might have some instances where a person who is named after a particular quality does not exhibit it. But then for those who know the meaning and the true Muslims, they try as much as possible to act in accordance with the names. Muslims, and not only Muslims, but, you know, people who aspire to be righteous, who aspire for their children to be righteous, try to name their children after righteous people. So, for instance, there are a lot of names that if I ask us to name, I believe each one of us can name almost like 20 of them. Names that are given, you know, after certain holy personages, like Ibrahim, Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Jacob, Moses. These are names that we give to our children with the hope. Of course, we are not saying that we are giving them the name for them to become prophets of God, but then we give them the name with the hope that they become some embodiment of those holy people. It is for this reason that it is not wise and it is not, you know, useful to just give a name to a child or to a person's self without knowing the meaning of it. As a person who has some level of, you know, understanding about the Arabic language, sometimes I come across some names, even here in Jamaica, I come across some names and directly your mind goes to Arabic because the name comes only from Arabic. No matter where they found it, the root word is in Arabic. But then if you look at the meaning of the name, it is so terrible, so bad that if the parents of that child or those children knew the meaning of those names, they would never have, you know, attributed those names to them. There is a particular name that I have seen or heard about 5 of them. And the names translate to hell, H-E-L-L. So imagine a parent named the child after hell. I mean, didn't know that the meaning was that. Either found somebody calling the child by that name, so they also adopted that name. If the child finds out the meaning, definitely, I mean, something could happen. And even if they don't find out, it has its own, you know, case. For a person who understands it, when you meet this name, you go like, I mean, what happened? How could the person be named after this? And sometimes you might be tempted to even think that the one who gave the name knew the meaning and they deliberately gave it because of some situation. For instance, like a mother who goes through troubles from the baby father might be affected to give the child a name that best describes the troubles that the mother went through. So it is important that when we are giving names to children, we have to look for names with good meanings. In Christianity, I believe We all know that there are quite a lot of righteous people, even from the Bible. In Islam and in almost all religions, there are quite a number of righteous people. But then you don't find names, or you don't find people being named after certain people, even though those names are in the Bible, or even in the Holy Quran, or in the other scriptures. Take a look at the name Pharaoh. Just by pronouncing the word Pharaoh, it looks, you know, something like fascinating to a person who might not know who Pharaoh was, who might not know, I mean, who the Pharaohs were, or who might not even know the meaning of that. But I have not come across anybody who has named a child after Pharaoh, because, of course, Pharaoh was not a good person by all standard. Jesus Christ, may peace upon him, had a lot of, disciples. We call him Anabi Isa. And as Muslims, we name our children after Jesus. But I have not come across a name being given after the disciple who betrayed Jesus, Judas. Maybe, some of you might have heard it, but then I have not come across a person whose given name from birth was called Judas. In our own societies as well, there are some names that if you have, you might be tempted, you might go through certain level of torture yourself, even if you are genuine and a good person. If you are named after a bad man, a gunman, a reputed, gunman who caused trouble in a particular society. Once your name is mentioned, people run for cover, even though you might not be that, a notorious gunman. There are some names that, people who were drug dealers, in fact, people who had questionable characters. If by mistake your name happens to match their names, sometimes at the airport, when you are traveling, you go through a lot of, security checks, because the authorities would want to ascertain whether you are related to this person or you endorse the person's, behavior or qualities. Those of you who have been going for visa from different embassies, there are some names alone. That name alone can let you lose the opportunity of, being admitted into some of these countries, which means that names are very important. And when we have to choose them, we should choose them carefully. Imagine a person who is going to the Israeli embassy for a visa, or you want to travel to Israel and your name is called Hitler. That alone is a no-go zone for such a person. Imagine going to the U.S. embassy for visa and you have your name Bin Laden. Definitely, I can assure you that you might not qualify for that, application. So when we are choosing names, Islam teaches us that there are quite a number of good names, beautiful names, Allah's attributes, names of prophets, names that, encourage the bearers of those names to do good, and not names that glorify, indecency, names that, promote, uncivilized behavior in societies. These are quite, a number of few things that I wanted to bring to our attention, particularly as we discuss the attributes of Allah. As I said, there are quite a number of them. There are songs made about them with meanings, and I believe in the subsequent days and maybe, ahead, inshallah, we might share a few of them so that we reflect on them, particularly those that are at center of our prayer request, when we are asking for this, when we are asking for that, when we are praising Allah, what do we have to use? In the battlefield, even the soldiers will tell you that it's not any bullet that will be used for, certain kind of battles. There are some dedicated bullets that have special targets and special, kind of a use. Names also work that way. And particularly the attributes of Allah also work that way. Wrapping it up, I would entreat all of us to understand the meaning of the names we have. I believe a vast majority of the people have names that are either after prophets, after holy people, after, you know, named after some good qualities. We have to try as much as possible to live by the meanings of those names. If your name is an angel, or if your name means good, if your name means beautiful, if your name means kind, the last thing people should expect from you is doing something contrary to that name, the meaning of that name. So those of us who know the meanings of our names, we should work towards it. Those who don't know, we should begin finding out. And if for some reason we find out that the name that we have, or the name that we've given to either our child or our children, the meanings are not good, but then we choose them without knowing, it could be changed. I have come across several instances in the hadith, in the Islamic history, where the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had to change people's names because those names contained some kind of glorification, I mean glorifying idols, or names that did not have good meanings, and they were given proper, beautiful names with good meanings. When a person becomes a Muslim, it is not obligatory for the person to adopt an Islamic name, but then it is important. So it is not obligatory. You cannot force a person to adopt a Muslim name, but then it is important to have that kind of identity that, you know, links you with Islam. Because once you choose that name, the meaning will be given to you and you will be encouraged almost all the time to work towards the meaning of that name. And by doing so, definitely you will become best, you know, version of yourself. Going back to the attributes of Allah the Almighty, I have selected a quote from the writings of the founder of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, the Holiness Mirza Ghulam Ahmed, the Messiah of the age. He says, listen, O those who can, and what God desires from you. So listen, O those who can, listen to what God desires from you. And he says, God desires that you become solely his and do not associate any partners with him. As I stated in the beginning, that in the early part of the Holy Quran, it talks about God being, you know, God of all the worlds. And then the verses we read also indicate that God has no partner. So as Muslims, it is a very important, you know, claim and also pledge that we make. He continues to say, neither in the heavens nor in the earth. That is, God hath no partner, neither in the heavens nor in the earth. He says, our God is that God who is alive, even now, as he was alive before. Again here, I should explain that there are some people who think that God used to speak, but then doesn't speak today. God used to listen, and doesn't listen today. He says none of the attributes of Allah is held in abeyance, meaning all the attributes, the qualities of Allah the Almighty are active today equally as they were active before, which means we should make good use of them. There are some Muslims today who think that God used to speak and cannot speak again. May Allah the Almighty enable us to make use of his attributes, and may Allah the Almighty also shower his attributes of mercy, kindness, and forgiveness, and all these attributes that we stand in need of. May he shower them onto us. And coming to the names, when we have the opportunity to choose names, we should try as much as possible to choose names that, you know, have good meaning and purpose for us. May Allah bless us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ilaha illallah. محمد رسول الله.